Morning of Masechet Shabbat Taf Ayin Dalet, and we're starting on the Amud, first down of the Amud. So now we saw yesterday we had a couple of melochas that were all similar to each other, and we explained that the Torah or the Gemara Mishnah specifically chose particular headings, but there were other things which also be avot melachot etc. But the Mishnah never counted them. So the Gemara says v'lichshuv nami kotesh. Why don't we also count as one of our melachos kotesh lachtosh? Is like to smash, to grind, right? How do they translate kotesh there in the English? Anybody? What's an English translation there of kotesh?
Pounding.
Huh?
Pounding.
Okay. Right. So Rabbiya shechen ani ochel pito belok tisha. He says why not? He says it's quite simple. Allah Allah. He says because. A poor person, in other words, kotesh is not always a necessary part of the process. Because a poor person will eat his bread without pounding it down, smashing it up. He wants to safeguard every single piece. Right, look at Rashi, v'lichshuv nami kotesh, chitin b'machteshet, la'asik libatam. When you pound it, right, the flour in some sort of like a grinder to smash it out, to separate the covers. Davei b'migdash b'sam money. Now, Rashi's going on the caveat. I just want to mention this as well. The machloket, the Gaonim, I think it's Rav Hai Gaon and Rav Chananel, I think even, that they are a bit more liberal in terms of explaining why the melochas are the way that they were. Right? They say the melochas aren't only things that were used to build the Mishkan, but they're also melochas which were used in the Mishkan. So, for example, baking, we can understand according to them because they bake bread in the Mishkan. Okay, we explained yesterday that baking wasn't really a melocha. The melocha should have been bishul, right? Because they boiled the water for the simamanim, for the dyes. Then we said as well that all these grinding processes and smashing and separating, it wasn't for food, it was again for taking all the ingredients and making dyes for the fabrics and for the materials, etc. So it says here again, Rashi, and I think Tosfot as well, if I understood correctly, are pretty much of that opinion, that the melochas are for simanim, but not or for use for what was made in building the Mishkan and not for running and managing the Mishkan. So here's Rashi going again with that same line of thinking. It says, the Avai Mikdash was simanim. Why did we take this chita and grind this wheat in the Mikdash? For simanim, to make dyes. So he says over there, so he says, chita machteshet, lasir klipatan, the Avai Mikdash was simanim, elalav mishum the dam in the dash. The problem is not because it's similar to dash. Right, so the threshing is there. Lo chashivle, the anami mifrak milavushi, because separating it from its garment. In other words, he's saying that really we could the idea over here of kotesh, right, is smacking it. And what was the idea for? I think the thrust of the Rashi that I want to focus on at the moment is that he saw it as the purpose for the dyes. So Amar Abaya, shechen ani ochel pito belok tisha. You don't necessarily have to use it. Look at Rashi there, ochel pito belok tisha. Lechach afa gav da havai b'migdash v'av melacha. Even though kotesh would be an av melacha, so there would be an av melacha. It was in the migdash. Kevan de tanelei dash lo tanela. Since he quoted already dash, which is like the threshing, he never mentioned this as well. V'zoreh u'boreh u'moraket. So now ask the question, why do we have to have all these three things over here? Of Zoreh throwing up in the air and Boreh separating and Meraked sieving. Sidur lepatin are all a process of making bread. Vechayvat av migdash. And since they were in the migdash, again, Rashi will say for the purposes of making the dyes. Vahacha itchil besidur lepat. And since we're discussing the process of the pat, Taninu kedamina gabe ofer, we discussed them next to ofer. Havle lematne mevashel, we never learn cooking, velo ofer, tlov migdash ele mishum sidur lepat naked. Then he says we should have learned mevashel and not baking, because baking wasn't in the migdash because of the whole process of the bread. He chose it. Vata hoyo vofer bepat, since you're baking bepat, mevashel is like the same as baking. That's why we learned them. So now he's explaining himself out of why that one, which, what's Elwin? I can't hear you. Right, so he says, why we said, why not kotesh? We said, kotesh, even though it's part of the same process, we learned dash already. So the question is, how can we learn all the others? So he said, no, we need the others. Why? He says, because Ashirim, Avalkatisha, Ashimu de teite vektishin asot solit nekia. Rich people will use an extra process to make their bread finer. Aval anim lo tache won't go to the trouble for doing it. Hilcha lo tache, so we never included it. Right, it'll be uvar abelacha hiu bichal dash. It is a melacha, but the others are all processes. Even though they seem like they're repeating themselves, they each a separate process, which everybody will go through that part of the process. But the finer stages at the end, not everybody will go through. Ketisha, a poor person won't use. He'll have more whole wheat bread or rough or coarser bread or coarser flour, and therefore they won't use it. The Tanna never learned it, including dash, because you might have said, look, you could have argued the same thing and said that. That these melachot over here, right, which we quoted, Zore and Bore and Braken, all part of the same process, all the same thing, all purposely to separate. So how come there you including them and Kotesh Yon? He said, no. What I'm saying is those processes everybody goes through. Kotesh, not everybody goes through, and Ani could maybe not do it, therefore Tad Nekai, but it is an Av Melacha. That's what's important to understand, it is an Av Melacha. There was Abaya's answer. You see, Abaya came first now, right? Now we're back on track. Abaya came first. Rava Amar Haman, who's the Tana of this Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, right? Now, what's the significance of that? Look at Rashi, Rebbe. The Yadav come and pray Kazorik. Tvarim Hadrim Adadrim Minyana. Rebbe's got his basis for how he got to the numbers. So Rebbe had to get to 39. So what he's saying of the Rava, right? Amar Avot Melachot Amim Chaser Achat 39. Ichashiv Kotesh Havel Arba'im. And therefore, if he simple Pashut reason says Rava, not the complicated philosophical reason of Abaya that a poor person doesn't use Kotesh and therefore it is part of Dash, they never use it, etc. It's simple. Rebbe, he wrote the Mishnah. Rebbe wanted to find the number of 39. If he would have put in Kotesh, he would have had 40. And 40 wasn't good. Why 40? Why 39? So I gave an example yesterday, which we spoke about. I heard from my father, the guy of Goldfinder, Gavisha, said that to do with the Malkot, some connection between 39 Malachos and 39 Malkot, 40 minus 1, the same Limud, same way of remembering, maybe that's a connection, right? Just one thing which we missed out yesterday, see, Rob is not here, but he normally wanted to point it out. Yesterday we learned about the 39 Malachos, and was the 39th day of the Omer. Anyhow, it wasn't my idea either, there was also a guy from South Africa. Okay, so now a nice idea. So now Rava says like this, Rebbe's a Malacha, Rebbe needs 39, right? So he says, no problem. Why don't you take out one of the others and put in Kotesh? And look at Rashi, says, they're all Zore or Bore or Merake. We all just said a second ago, they're all three the same Melocha. Right? So, Lifuk Minayu Chada, Velitnecha, bring us one here, says Rashi. Because this way, at least we'd have two from the faculty, from the selection of separation of Bore. And we'd have two from Dash. Why three and one? It's not fair. Right? It's better than having three and one. Dash isn't getting any multiples, only one, even though there are plenty of other melochas of Dash. So this might have been the way to do it. Right? So he says, the Gemara says, you know what? We accept Abaya's answer. If you start getting into the realm now of starting to say, take out this and put in that, and it of ourself. We saw yesterday that Markiv and Mavrich. And all those things are all melochas of Zoraya or Noteya. And a lot of our stuff you can't get around. So Abaya's reason seems to be the same reason. Okay, Brother carries on. Tarbanan. Now we get into the realm of Borer. Okay? Just one short introduction to Borer. Borer is not only psolet and ochel. You've got bad stuff and good stuff. Like, for example, you got the skin or the peels or the bones or whatever that which you don't want. Borer can be from good foods as well. So you've got chicken and fish, or chicken and rice, or meat and potatoes. It could also be borer. I'm not pasking aloch, I'm saying the mind of borer here. That's why the Gemara starts off and says, we've got a brighter. Hilufanav minei ochalin, different types of foods. Not psolet and ochel, minei ochalin, different foods. Borer v'ochel, the brighter says like this. Apologize, I'm just very congested. The energies are killing me. Borer v'ochel, borer u'meniach, v'lo yivror, v'im birer chayav chatat. So like an inherent steering in the bright. The bright is on the one hand that you can do borer and you can eat. Borer means separate and then eat. The bright says as well, borer u'meniach, you can separate and leave on the side without eating. But now the bright says, v'lo yivror, but you can't do borer. And if you do, v'im birer you chayav chatat. What's going on over here? Right? So look at Rashi there. Velo yivror. Lekame parich my kame. What's going on here? Bereshit tana borer v'hadetana lo yivror. He picks up on the contradiction, right? Make up your mind. Either borer or lo yivror. So now we're going to see over here four Amorai, Rav Chisda, Rav Yosef, Rav Huna, and Abaya, Rav Imnuna, sorry, and Abaya, who are all going to now try and explain this brighter. I saw this morning in the Shtandart, he says over there, that it's not that there's a machloket between them all, but it's clear to all these four Amoraim that there's something missing from this brighter. Borer ochel, borer meniach, lo yivror, it borer chayev chatat. Something's wrong here, it's like a tam of a chisura mechsura. We'd say there's things missing, let's fill them in. So each Amora now is going to try and fill in what they think is missing from this brighter, but not necessarily arguing. Now, the interesting thing is that from each opinion, we pick up a couple of halochas, which are halocha lemaise. Not all four of them together, but from each one of them, there's a bit of something which comes halocha lemaise. So let's go through the brighter. The brighter says like this. Matkiv Rav Chizur, what's going on over here? What do you mean? I'm wrong one. Ula. Sorry, Amar Ula. Sorry, so there's actually Ula, Rav Chisda, Rav Yosef, there's five Amoraim here. I just said four. There are five Amoraim here. Right? So the Viyah, so you live in Amina Ochlin. So Borer, Umeniach, Lo Yivro, Vimberechata, my Kamar, Amar Ula, Hachi Kamar. Borer, V'ochel, Levo Vayom. You can choose stuff out of the food and eat it on that day. Borer, Umeniach, Levo Vayom. You can do Borer if you want, and you can leave it to be eaten later that day. However, ula machar lo yivror, to take it for tomorrow, rashi l'tzorich machar, that you can't do, ve'im birer chayev chatat. So ula says simply, what are we talking about? You can do borer to eat something for today. Not necessarily the same meal. In the morning you want to do, you can do borer, same for you have for afternoon for lunch. Or you can leave it, or you can do borer. I suppose not, that doesn't make sense. Borer and ochel would be right now. Borer meniach would then mean leave it for a meal later today. But you can't do borer for tomorrow. So for tomorrow you chayv chatat. That's how Ula says it. So now comes along Rav Chisda. It says, Matl Rav Chisda, what are you talking about? V'chi mutar lefot levo bayom. But borer is like any other melocha. Baking is also a melocha. So Ula says, what, you can bake on for today? What do you mean you can do borer for today? What, you can bake for today? Right? V'chi mutar levashel levo bayom. Or you can cook for today? What do you mean? It can't be. That can't be the explanation. Look at Rashi. V'chi mutar lefot, right? Pachot mikshir. Obviously, pachot mikshir we're talking about. No. V'chi mutar lefot. Sorry, go back. V'chi mutar lefot l'vashilom v'yom. V'achinami av melachai. Kevin da martet l'ulemachar chayev chatat. Since you did it today, b'chayev chatat tomorrow, means it's an av melocha. So why can you do that melocha today? So therefore, says Rav Chisda, that can't be that. He says, Ella, what is the brighter saying? It says like this. Borer v'ochel pachot mikashir. Do borer and eat now less than a shiur. Less than a grugorit. Remember, food always, I think Rashi actually says it. Rashi says, pachot mikashir, pachot mikrugorit. A grugorit is a shiur for food on Shabbos. Borer umaniach pachot mikashir. And you can also leave less than a shiur. Ukashiur lo yivro. But don't do borer of a shiur. V'im birer chayav chatat. So Rav Chisda says, what talking about over here? No. You can't do the melocha like you wanted to say, Ula, but you can do less than a shear today and to leave it, but you can't leave it for tomorrow, even less than a shear. So now again, Matar Rav Yosef says, what are you talking about? V'chimuta lefot pachot mikashir? Same idea. What, you can bake today less than a shear? You had to bake half a grugorit? You can't bake anything on Shabbos. So why can you do borer? Maybe borer is a melocha and baking is a melocha. Why can you do the one you can't do the other? Look at Rashi there. V'chi mutar lefot pachot mikashir. Now he dechiyuv chatat leika. I agree with you, Rashi, that there's no chatat because it's less than a shiur. Yisurim yaikra is asur. The kamelan, because we've learned already. We've seen this before. We learned this right in plenty places. Chatzi shiur asur min haTorah. Peri batri neyom. He says Aviyah, but we learned it. Even a chatzi shiur is asur min haTorah. You're on chayav chatat. Or you wouldn't get malkot, you wouldn't get, etc. But it's still asur. So what if you can bake off a shiur? Amar Rav Yosef says, no, this is what the brighter means. Borer v'ochel b'yad. You can do borer and eat with your hand. Right? Borer u'meniach b'yad. And you can take a side and leave it for a little bit later with your hand. B'kanon u'v'tamchoy lo yivror. You can't use a kanon or a tamchoy. Rav says, yeah, a kanon is like a furrow like this that you'd put stuff in at the top, shake it around, the sort of an old style, like a type of a sieve, but not a proper sieve. Okay? So it's only a derabanan because it's kila achar yad, or a tamchui, or some sort of big bowl, and you can like shake around, but you can't use a sieve or a strainer or anything, or a proper kli for borer. Right? And there he says Rabbi Yosef, if you used a kanon or a tamcho, you patru of an asur. Why? Because it says la'achar yad. But if you used a proper strainer or a sieve or something which is properly used for separating, that you can't do it all. He's got four levels of here. You can do borer to eat with your hand. You can do meniach with your hand. You can't do borer with a kanon or a tamcho. If you do, you don't have a chatat. And if you do a kavera or a besanen, right, then you would be chayev even a chatat. So that was Rav Yosef. And by the way, we've got the principle with borer, just you should know this. There's a halachic principle, ochel miyad ubayad. Remember that for borer, halachas of Shabbos. Ochel miyad, bayad umiyad. If you take food out of the good food, not the bad, the food out of the mixture which you wanted with your hands, immediately to eat, you can do it on Shabbos. Now, with your hand, it can be with a fork. Okay, a fork is the extension of your hands. We don't eat with our hands anymore because we want our hands to get dirty. So you take a fork, it's considered using your hands. But you can't take the mixture and strain it or sieve it or use some sort of kli which is made for separating. But with your hand or with a fork or the spoon, you could do it. Because that's from Rabbi Yosef. Now we've got Rabbi Yosef over here who said that. Rabbi Mnuna isn't excited. Rabbi Mnuna said, what are you talking about? Where is this brighter that you come to Tamchui and Kanon? The brighter said, Ochel Meiniach Asu. Why are you adding in these Kainim over here? He says Rabbi Mnuna like this. What's the brighter talking about? Borer v'ochel ochel mitoch apsolet. You can do borer v'ochel and eat, sorry. Or you can borer v'ochel, ochel mitoch psolet. You can eat it if you take it out of the psolet. Look at Rashi there. Borer, ochel mitoch psolet, Lord derech breira. That's not called derech breira. Borer umeniach ochel mitoch psolet. Or you can take the food and leave it aside for a later meal. Psolet mitoch ochel, but if you take the psolet, the bad stuff, out of the food to throw it away, that's lo yivror v'im birer chayev chatna. That's also halacha. You can't take what you don't want and throw it away. You can take what you want out of it and eat it. So now, even on that, Matkan Rabbi, Abai is still unhappy. He says, what? Midi ochel mitoch psolet? Where do you find in the Brighter anything about psolet? The Brighter specifically said, Shnei min hayudu fanav minei ochalin. No psolet. Where do you come to suddenly saying psolet? There's no psolet in this picture. El Amr Abaya, this is the aloha. Borer v'ochel le'altar, immediately. You can choose and eat immediately, that you can do. U'borer u'meniach le'altar. Or you can set aside and meniach le'altar. Look at Rashi, le'echol le'altar. In other words, you don't have to actually take it out of the pot and eat it. You can do borer, put it onto your plate. Or do borer, put it onto the tray, bring it to the table and eat it. As long as for that particular meal. That's what meniach means. Meniach doesn't mean for later or for the end of the day. That's what he's saying by Meniach. That's what Abaya says. So he says, okay. So he says, Borer ume, lost my place here, sorry. Meniach l'altar, ulevo v'yom, lo yivror. Even for that day, don't do brera for later on in the day. Right, even for ulavor by for the day itself. If you do, let's say at breakfast, you separate stuff and you can have for lunch as well. You do brayer already between ochalim. That's not good. If you do, that's considered otzar. What's otzar mean? Rashi Zaviya, latznia, right? To save. If you're keeping it for a long time, that's not even for later for the day. That's not even when you're keeping it for. And if you did, then you chayv a chatat. So basically, to sum up very quickly what we've learned out of all of this. Even two types of foods or things which you would want to eat, you can separate what you want to eat immediately. You can separate what you want if you can eat it in that next in the immediate meal. You can separate stuff, right, for when it's needed, but you can't store stuff. And also, we said there, ochel b'yad b'yad. You can use your hands. You can't use a kli, right? And I think that's really the main points coming out of this. So now the Gemara says like this: Amruak Rabbanan kamei de Rava. So Rabbanan said this halacha in front of Rava. Right? Probably quite what Abaya said. So Amar Lehu, so Rabbi says, Shafir Amar Nachmani. Nachmani said, right. Now we've seen Nachmani. Remember, we had a couple of different opinions. So Machlok of the Gaonim say that Nachmani was his name. Because Rabbi brought him up, and Rabbi's father was Nachmani, it was his nephew. They had the same, and Rabbi's father and Abaya's grandfather were the same person. His name was Nachmani, his name was Nachmani. Therefore, he called him Abaya. And other people say, Rathi Rashi says his name is actually Abaya. And he referred to him as Nachmani as a nickname for his father. That's who he called him, etc. But anyway, Abaya is Nachmani. So Rava says, well said, Nachmani. Now the Mishnah says like this. The Gemara changes, the Gemara carries on. Yudufanav shnei mina ochlin, ubirer, v'achal, ubirer, v'heniach. So now what happens is, we saw early on, that shnei mina ochlin, we said, borer v'ochel, borer v'heniach, lo yivro. So now the Gemara changes it a bit. It says, he did borer and ate it. He did borer and set it aside. Rav Ashi says, patur. He says, no problem, it's patur. And Rav Yirmi Difti says, chayev. He says, no, you chayev. And that makes more sense. Rav Ashi, matni patur. He says, how can Rav Ashi say patur? Vatani chayev. We saw in the Brayta itself. Right? We said, ayunafanav mina ochlin, borer vochel. Borer mun velo yivro, vim borer chayev chatat. We explained it, that you can't leave food over. So how can Rav Ashi say, right, patur if you did borer veheniach. So what says, lo kashia. Haba kano v'tamcha v'napa v'chabera. Now, when Rav Ashi said that you can do borer and you patur, not mutar, but patur, we do with a kanon and a tamcha. We said that there was like l'achar yad. That's isud rabbanon only. But if you did it with a kavera v'napa, that would be a chayev doraita. Of course, like as Kiatra of Dimi, you see that Yasel, when Kiatra of Dimi, again, when Abraham became Eretz Yisrael, right? Kiatra of Dimi, Amar, Shifta de Rabibi Havai. Says they would take different turns. They would Rashi says Rabbi Yeshua Rabibi Haya. He gave your more liot omeg meshamesh natalmidim. So they had a some sort of a food roster where he was in charge of the kitchen that day for the kids to feed the kids, and on that day in the shiva, and on that day veiklo Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Ami Asi arrived in the dining room on the day that he was in charge there when Rabibi's day was in charge. Shadna to Shabbos. So Shadna Kamayu Kalkanapiri. He spread like a whole thing of fruits in front of him. He didn't actually clean the fruits and prepare the fruits. Look at Rashi. I said, Shadna Kamayu. He didn't want to take the food out of the leaves. There was a whole basket there full of I don't know, freshly picked apples, whatever. Right? And he threw the whole basket down. He didn't want to actually do any picking. So Rashi would have taken it before Elisha Shatchan. He threw them out. And they could each go and take it on their own. And by throwing it out like that into the table, the food separated by itself. So now the question is, why did Rav Bibi do this? So the Gemara said like this. V'lo yadana, right? The Rav Dimi says that when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he saw this. Or he's telling us what happened in Eretz Yisrael, that this happened in Eretz Yisrael, and he's not sure why Rabbi Bibi did this. Is he saying maybe you can't even take food out of the psolet? Or maybe he just wanted to give them, be generous. Was it a Hashabbos issue? And he didn't want to actually separate the apples out in the basket with all the leaves and leave the leaves behind? It doesn't make sense because we never saw anywhere that's asur to do borer from ochel to psolet, from ochel from psolet. Maybe he's just a generous guy. He was saying, yeah, eat. And he threw the apples out. So that's it. The Gemara doesn't give any answer on that, though. It doesn't give any answer on that. Not sure. There's no aloha. It's not asu, by the way, to do borer of ochel. So I'm sorry. The Gemara now said like this. Haborer, another aloha. Haborer turmusim mitoch psolet shelahen. How do they translate turmusim? Rashi says some sort of a kitnia. Some sort of a kishui. Sorry, some sort of like a... some sort of marrow of some kind. There's a Rashi, the Kut Rashi in Beitzi. He says min kitniot agol round kamin adashot, like a bean, like a adashot, like a barley. Verachav kama'a ketan, like a small coin. V'hu mar, very bitter, until you soak it, you boil it in water 7 times. V'naseh matok, and then finally gets sweet. V'tov ad sheyochal. Lematamim bekinuach, so it's good for some sort of a kinuach. What's the English translation of a turmus?
Lupins.
And you know lupins. What that? What's a lupin? Anybody got idea what a lupin is? I thought lupins are like marrows. Isn't a lupin like a marrow, baby marrows and stuff, or butternut? Are those called lupins? Actually, I saw it on a diet once, lupins, I think that's what it said. And yeah. Steve's got a picture. Oh, okay. That's not what I'm... Okay, very good. So now these two Muslims, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure if I understand what's going on over here, this two Muslims, but these two Muslims is like this. So Chizkiah is like this. Aborei two Muslims mitoch psolet shelahen chayiv. If you do take the two Muslims out of their psolet, now it's coming on the back of what we just saw a second ago, right? Did Rabbi Bibi say that it's also to take ochre psolet? Now comes the halacha of Chizkiah and says, if you take the turmus and you do borrow, you take it out of its psolet, it's asur. So a chayev, chayev. So what I don't understand, is Chizkiah saying that it's asur to do borrow of food out of its psolet? Where does he get that from? So what it says, no, it is asur. Why is it asur in this case? Right? Look at Rashi. It says, after you've cooked it seven times, you then pull it out of its shell. So he says, no, it's different with the tulmusim. Why is tulmusim different? The shalkan lay shiva zibni, you cook it seven times. Rashi says there, lemetaken, to fix it up, right? Lemetaken, to sweeten it. Ve'i lo shalkan lay matshach. And if you, and the Bach changes it to ve'i shalkan, after doing all these things, so matshach, they stink. They stink, right? And ukapsolet mitoch ochel dami. He says over here, they're stinky, but they become like overcooked or they become very soft. I think that's what he means, they're more than stinky actually. Mashach v'ilchach, he says over here, he says like this, v'ilo shakle lei, lo ochel mitoch apsolet, mitoch shurach. Very, very soft. Both the peels and the thing itself are all very, very soft. So it says that we have hilchach ochel nami. Rashi says that this the psol is also ochel. I'm not sure what's going on here, to be honest with you. But bottom line is there's something specific to the turmus. I apologize. There's a long Rashi of here. I underlined a whole lot of it. If you want to look at the end of the Rashi there, it says, V'rabbeinu halevi garis. Go down to Rashi, like about five lines from the Dibur HaMatchil, the Farim Silka. So Rabbeinu Levi Garis, Ve'i Shekidele Matzrach, it's very soft, because not lo nimoach, it basically messes, crumbles up. Bein etzbor tav v'nim as, and then it becomes disgusting. Hilchach ahu deshakir havei kepsolet, v'anishar havei ochel ad shechosev not lo. Basically, every time you're taking it out, it mushes up in your hand and you can't eat it. It's so soft, you're going to chuck it away till you try again. So really, you're taking psolet out of it. That's the one explanation, the best that I can explain over here on this Tul Muslim, but I'm not sure what it means. Okay, we carry on now. Now, we start going through, we're going to go through quite a lot of the melochas in the Mishnah. Right, so we had all these melochas, right? And now we're up to Tochen, right? So if you count in the Mishnah, we had Zoraya, Choresh, Kotzer, Ma'amer, Dash, Zore, Borer, 7. And now we're up to Tochen, which is the 8th one. Okay? So Amar Papa, Haiman, the Farim, Silke, Chayim. So now remember, Tochen is to grind, right? So it's over here, Papa. That Haiman, he says like this, Haiman, the Farim, Silke. Look at Rashi, what's Farim, Silke? Bemem says so. No, not faris. There's some opinions that say farashi says bemem farim. Right, so he says my keeper firm. He says beloaz. He says mechatcho hadak. That cuts the silke. Silke is selik. Right, selik is what selik is. Is a beetroot, I think. Right. That he cuts it very, very fine. Look at Rashi there. The Likut Rashi there from later. He says they dami letochen. Right. So this cutting up, if you take this the beetroot and you chop it into very, very, very fine pieces, that's like tochen. Right? So he says there, silke chayim shum tochen. So I'm Rabbi Nashi, Haman de salit silti chayim shum tochen. What's salit silti? Salit silti, I look at Rashi Avia, salit silti, etzim dakim lavir esh. So you chop up wood very finely on Shabbos. In other words, what you're trying to understand here is that the concept of tochen is not only when you're grinding food. Anything that you would take, wood or other types of food, and you chop them up very, very finely, you could be over the melocha of tochen, even though it's not crushed up, but very finely chopped up. Amrav Ashi, I kapid am shachta chayev mishum mechatech. Look at Rashi. If you particularly sort of Ashi, if you want to cut them up in a particular measure, like you want the exact size, like you want to cut up, like you're making a set, you want to look very nice and chop it all up in the right size, then you'd be chayiv not for tochen, but for mechatech. So you could be chayiv in the same act, chopping up the vegetables very finely for tochen. If you now make it very careful to cut the sizes into the right shapes, then you'd be chayiv for mechatech. Okay? We're trying to get an idea over here for how the melochas work. Now we've got halash va'ofe, right? So now we've got... there's something, some noise over here. Just one second. I think I got it. Okay. There's alash va'ofe, right? So alash is kneading and baking. Amar Papa shavak tana didan bishul shemanim. So it says over here, says Rav Papa, Atana, has he forgotten about bishul? Cooking up the thing for the daas, and he's gone into ofe. Right? To have a mishkan, because the bishul was in the mishkan. But nakan ofe, he's chosen baking. Right, look at Rashi at the bottom over here. Now, confess, the Lo Shach Menechel Mishkan Klal. Rashi goes again. He says, "What's baking going to do with it? There's no baking in the Mishkan, even though we said that there, at the beginning of the Shi, we said that there are opinions of the Gaonim that things included in the Melochas of the Mishkan were also included. But Rashi's other opinion, no, only what was made for making the Mishkan. Right? So the Gemara says, Tana Didan. So the Gemara says, no. What's our Tana on about? Sidur de Pat Nakat. He chose. Why did he Dafka choose baking? Because he wanted to go through the process of Pat. Right, the sidur de pat. Look at Rashi here. She is the sidur de pat. She itchil bo nakat v'ofer b'makom bishul the sevamani yehud dehave bishul de pat. Basically, we saw Rashi in the Mishnah as well, because he's going through the whole process of how you're making everything to do with the baking. Right, so it's because really that's really what we're doing for the sevamani. Right, we're plowing and we're planting and we're harvesting and then we're grinding and we're separating. Exactly how we would make bread. Right, so too we get to the fine wheats and all these things and the colors to crush up to make daas. So therefore he went ahead with ofer, which is anyhow the bishul. Ofer, bishul, the same thing. Amar Rav Acha bar Avira, hi man, the shana sikta la'atunei chai bishul b'vashal. Now again, we've seen previously that brought us the Amoraim here, some off-the-wall ideas of what would be considered a melocha. He says that we have the same thing. A person who throws a sikta. Rav says, yeah, what's a sikta la'atunei? Says, yeah, the shada sikta, she shlich yated lach. He had like some sort of a wet peg or a wet piece of wood or whatever it is, right? A wet piece of wood. Le tanur cham le yabsho shir kashe. And that was very soggy because when the wood got wet, it became very soft. So he throws it into the oven to dry it. Now let's just stop for half a second and think. The melocha of bishu, right, is normally what? We take something hard, we cook it long enough, and it becomes soft. That was our problem with the turmus, right? The turmus became so soft after being cooked seven times, it basically became solid. But bishul is really about taking something hard and making it soft. Here we've got the opposite, but it's still considered bishul. We take something soft, which is wet, we dry it out in the oven to make it hard, and that's called bishul as well. Okay, so that's worth paying attention to that. This is over here. The sheshlich yated lach betanur cham liyabshosh yit kashe, to make it hard, right? So now, the Mivashal thing, says, that's Pashut. What's a Chidush? I don't understand. So he said, no, it's not Pashut at all. Why am I the Tamer? What would we have thought? Lishure maneke mechaved. Lishure, what's Lishure? Lechazek, says Rashi. We want to mechazek the Kli. And therefore, look at Rashi, the ain't kan bishu. Right? Because mechazek, to make things hard and strong, is not bishu. Bishu is to soften. Kamash melan, actually, demir perafe vahadar kamit. What's really going on over here? You're first making it soft, mirpe, soft, like rafui, right? Very relaxed. And then it gets hard. And look at Rashi. Then the water goes out. Ulachar sheyetzu meimav, right? Kamit, mitkashes, is Rashi. V'chirafi bereisha bishul. And when was the cooking ready? When we over bushel? While it was soft. So I'm not sure there's some sort of process here. It's wet. You warm it up, the water goes out, and getting the water out makes it soft, and then it hardens. It's actually that softening process, which is what we're worried about over here. That would be the issue of Mavasha. Gemara carries on, it says, Amar Rava, high mind, the Avid Chavita. Now, Chavit is like a barrel of some kind. Rashi says over here, particularly, Chavita Shel Cheres, right? In a kiln, in an oven. you make a not an oven, but you make a look at Yuchaya Mishum Sheva Chataot. There's seven melochas that you over on by doing this. What are the seven? How do you come to seven melachot, right? I know it's unfair what I'm going to say, but I just need you to know that looking into these black squares that just makes me very, very unsettling. I apologize, but it just unsettles me. It's difficult for me to concentrate. And if it's not impossible for you and you're able to show your face, I'd appreciate it, because for me it's very, very hard. Those of you who can't, if you're lying there in your underpants, I understand. But if you're able to, really, I'd appreciate it, because it's very, very, very hard for me to not see your faces. So he says, I can't concentrate. So I'm sorry. So he says like this. There's a high mind, the Abit Chavita, right? That makes this barrel of Cheres. Chai Mishum Sheva Chataot, right? You chai because of seven melochas, seven Chataot, right? Rashi is here. And Rashi lists them all. Look at the Rashi quickly. It's quite an important Rashi. Look at the Rashi. It's like this. What are the Sheva Chataot? Tochen Harugavim, right? You take the clogs of clay and you grind them. Veshochakan Hadak, and you make them very, very fine. That is Tochen. Then you do bore, take out the rocks from them. Right? That's two. Then you separate them you sieve them. Right? That's the third one. And then you like knead the plaster, and that becomes as lush. And then you spread it out nicely. Shechalak, right? When to make it smooth. Therefore, you got memachek. That's five. Umavir taul. Then you light the fire. Bekivshan. Umetzarfo betocho. And you cook it. Harei mevasha. And okay, so that's seven chiyuva. So now Rashi says those are the seven melochas. So now Rashi points out over here chiyuva de chofer. Like, why don't we also add in digging out the stuff to make it, right? Why don't we add in digging? So it says now digging is not a melocha. Why? The Eino Tzarich El Afrak. We didn't want the hole, we just wanted the sand itself. And we said, digging, you'd be chai for digging when you were born there if you were digging a hole because you wanted the hole. So that's why you are. So that would be over here for Chavita, Chai Mishum Sheva Chataot. Then, Rabbi Bar Bachana Huna carries on and says, if you made a tanur, it was a chavit, was like a cheres vessel. If you convert it into an oven, you have an extra shmoneh, another chatat. What's the extra chatat, says Rashi Avi, yeah? Shmoneh. After you made it in the kiln, hu tachalav tfeila, she'av v'chomo mitkayem, right? So he spreads on it this tachalav, right? V'hu gomer melachto v'amin lakam v'komine da'av v'gemar melocha chayim yishum makim v'patish. So therefore, you tachalea, you like give it a clap or something. I'm not sure what that means. I think it's what it means. And then you chayev makim patish. He says, ever with regards to a chavit, why aren't you chayev makim patish? The mealea nigmer belachto betanu, because in the oven on its own, I don't know what's this tachalea. You like put something on it, some sort of like a resin or something. I don't know. I'm confused now for a second. Anybody got an explanation there? A note of what that tachalea is? It has to be the eighth. The makim patish would be the eighth one for the tanur as well. Now we carry on over here, right? Chamishum shmoneh chatot. Amar Abaya, Haman de Avid Chilta. Chayev achadish rechad. If you did a chilta, Rashi said a kavet shokan. You made some sort of like a weave basket. You weave the basket of some kind. So you be chayev 11 chataot. How do you get to 11 chataot? Look at Rashi. He brings all the 11 chataot. Chayev achadish rechad. Zomer akar. You prune the branches. And we said that you need them, so you also chai for kotzer. So you zomer, which was noteya, and kotzer, which was harvesting, because you needed them. Umishum noteya also, right? So those are the two. And then asfam yachad, and you made it into a mound, so that's harei ma'amer. Birer yafot, you got bored, you checked out the good ones. Hechlikan, you took off all the thorns, and that's a memachek. Asan dakot me'achad shtayim or shalosh, you made them to very fine sizes, that's tochan. Chatach b'midah, we saw early on as well today, if you cut vegetables into a particular size, that is mechatech. Hasir ashti, right now you prepared, you're going to start weaving the whole story, right? So, arezim esech, Arag, and then you weave them. Achat lemale v'achat lemate k'day lahamido. Hare oseh shtei batei niri. Like we saw setting up the woof and the warp, whatever it is in the thing. Arag, sorry, to prepare the arigah. Now you do the arigah. And then chatach l'acharigah k'day ashotam. Then you made them into the same length. Zeh makeh v'patish. Add them all together, comes to 11. So in one, if you make this thing from beginning to the end, right? If you're cutting, etc., you chayv 11 melochas. Then it says as well, ve'i chayte lefume. And now if you sewed the top of it together, if you closed it off, so you'd be chayv an extra one. Look at Rashi over here. Ve'i chayte lefume la'asot leze safa. You want to like finish it off and make like a nice rim around it. Hosif kan tofer v'kosher. You're also sewing and you're tying another two more, 12 and 13. So why haven't you got a? Why Rashi asked the same question? Why do you have bone now for building a kli on Shabbos? He said, likely chivay lo bechaviv lo betanur. Neither in the previous cases as well, velo bekarinol in this case of here. Why? A very very important klal: ein binyan bekelim. Making a kli, you never have bone. Bone is only things which are attached to the ground. Okay, so when you dig a hole, for example, is bone. If you attach a pole to the floor, maybe to hold something up, that'd be bone, right? You aren't chayav bone when it comes to things attached to the ground, that aren't attached to the ground. Sorry, Kali. Right, so mafshit leikel meimar bekanim, right? So we have mafshit. Now, what about flaying? Like, say, because maybe with a kane, with a weed, you want to like pull off the bark or something. The ain hafshata ele b'or. It's the same idea. The melocha of hafshata, of flaying, only applies to leather. V'yesh b'farshim shekodeach nekavim ba'eth. If you made holes in it, tochavim b'rashay hakanim shel shtiv u'mechayv leim mishum tochen. V'lo Rashi doesn't like it. I don't understand what that is. Anya, Rashi says it's not a good answer. Anya, dahi techinim b'lecha she'ein etzuchen gufa v'tov li lefarei she'oseh otan dakot. Have a command, the salit sinti. We saw there earlier on in Rashi, salit sinti was cutting up the wood into fine little pieces. Rashi's happy with that melocha in the place as it was. Okay, let's move. Now we're on to gozes, right? And etatzemer v'amelabno. So now shearing the wool and cleaning it. That's 11 and 12. I remember Baruchan, Rabbi Yochanan. If you do the weave, the make the spinning on the animal on its body, you chayv three chataot, right? Achat mishum gozes, achat mishum menapet, and achat mishum tave. So Rabbi Kana says, what are you talking about? Rav Kana says, Amar bein derech zareh b'kana. That's not called gziza on the animal's body. What's shearing? You shear. Take off the animal. That we made the spin on the animal's body. That's not called shear. That's kedach hayad. And derech benapet is not called benapet. And derech tavu is not betavu. Says not. What do you mean? It isn't. Of course it is. Va'atanya mishmeret Rabbi Nechemia. We've got a case over here. He quotes over here Gemara, which we'll see later on. Daf Tzadik Tet in a few weeks. Shatuf bezim v'tav bezim. He washed the wool on the goat and he spun it on the goat. So they have almet tviya al gabe behem shma tviya. It is called tviya. So no. That's a specific, some person in a particular, we'll see them get to the Gemara there. He had some sort of amazing ability to do these sorts of things. That's not of the normal. We don't accept it whatsoever. Hatole shel kanaf. Now, a feather, a wing, right? So you've got a wing of a bird. If you pluck the kanaf, you pluck the wing. Look at Rashi. Hatole shel kanaf. Notza gedola min kanaf. You take out a feather from the wing of a bird. Right? Vahakotmo. Kotem lachash tal. So after you pick it out, says Rashi, chotech rosho. You cut the head off, which is very thin. Vraui lanichol bekarbek, and I can use it to start filling up your cushions, right? Your down pillows. You pluck out the feathers. You're not going to start using them. You cut off the head, which is sharp and small, will make holes in your pillow, and then you stick it into your pillow. Vahamorto letzadz navo shu kasher. Like you pull it out from the hard side. Moretz arom yikan yikan. You pull it, and you basically you pull out all the hairs off the feather. And then you basically you shot the hairs. You don't want the stem, you want just the hairs, you pull out the hairs. So you cut them off, they're ready for to put it in your pillow, and you pull out each particular feather off that like stem of the big wing. Each one is a different melocha. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Tolesh Chayav Mishum Gozes. He says, Tolesh, what are the melochas you chayav for? Tolesh, plucking is for Gozes. Kotev is because of mechatech, is because of cutting, and memaret is because of memachek, smoothing. Those are the three melochas you chayav for. Now we come on to, like you can see basically again, the whole idea here is to give us an idea that in one process with one feather, we could have three melochas, right? You pulled it off, which is gozes. You cut it, which is chote mechatech, and you memachek and you smooth it. Sorry, David.
Sorry. And what about makev patish
at the end? So makev patish, we saw it's a good point, and Rashi alluded to it previously with regards to the kiln, right? When you made that pot, some things are finished on their own. You aren't makev patish seems to be when you do something which is the makev patish. For example, like with the steel smith, when you smash it, that's giving it a clap, is the makev patish. Not everything has the clap. And if it's makev patish on its own, if it's finished by itself, so then that wouldn't be a makev patish.
But in the case of the feather, the guy cutting it, isn't the last act the makev?
No, the last act was moret. He took the feather, he cut off the sharp parts, the stem, then he plucked out, he first did a bit of cutting and adjusting, then he plucked out the feather, the feather off the stem, and then he used the feathers. And he threw away the stem. So I don't think there's actually a makev patish over here. Maybe, I don't think so. Right? Sorry, look, it's fine. He says, Mishum mechatech, the kapid, look at Rashi, why are you over a mechatech? Because the kapid lachtoch ad makom shra'ui, went for a specific place. The gabina kane ore kovaim. Right? And now he's going to start using it, I don't know, to weave hats with it. Vose kovaim mi kanfei of below sar. He's going to use it as well. He's not just going to throw away, he's going to use it for weaving, using it as a pin or something. I don't know what he's going to do with it. Right, and Mishum Mechek, because Gabe Or, we said there with Machko, when you pull all the hairs out of the leather, that is Mechek. Okay, now Hakosher Vamatir. Now the last two melochas, I think, for the day. No, I think one more. The melocha 13 and 14. So now Hakosher Vamatir. Kashira b'mishkan hechavek. Where do we find Kashira? Where did you find? Remember, we said we're getting the opinion over here now that we're only talking about melachot which were used in building the Mishkan. So where's the Kashir? Where do we tie knots? Was the Amar Rabba, the Bach changes to Rabba, not Rabba, Shechein Koshrim B'yatadot O'alim, when they pitch the tents, or the tents of the Mishkan, also the walls of the Mishkan, or the sides of the Chatzir, or the tent of the actual Mishkan itself, they used pegs. Right? You had a guard pole, and then you had your guy ropes, also the Meitarim, and you stick a peg in, right? So he says over here, so Ela Abaye, so the Gorsi Amar Rabba, Shechein Koshim B'tololim. So Amar Abaya, the Mishnah Shas changes this to Amar Abaya. Hahu Kosher Amanat Batir. That's not kosher for the purpose of kosher. Right? If you're looking up in our Gemara on Ayin Gimel, remember that's where the Melochas were. For those of you who came on late, I mentioned that the Goldfather gathered Shin to my father in South Africa mentioned that yesterday we learned the 39 Melochas and it was the 39th day of the Omer. So it's interesting. Now it doesn't help us remember the Daf. I always like to find sources to help to remember the Daf. Just remember that on the 39 Melochas is Ayin Gimel. I don't know how we're going to learn. Remember Ayin Gimel, but I don't know. Ugly story if you're over in all the Melochas. I don't know. Maybe that's what I remember. But yeah, Ayin Gimel is where we learned the Melochas. And there we said about Kosher. We said, Va'orek Shnechudem Fotzer, a Kosher Vahamatir. We never had Kosher Almenat Latir like we had with Kotev Mochek Amanat Lichtov or Korea Amanat Litfor. Right? Yes, just straightforward. So Abaya says to Rabba, I don't understand. That case that you brought over here is Kosher Amanat Latir. Why did we tie those pegs up in the Mishkan? That was in order to undo them. Look what he says over here. Now, maybe the Yetadot, Koshim Yetadot O'alim, maybe it's not what I explained, and maybe they tied them up to store them. So when they were, they stored the Yetadot, maybe in a bundle by being tied up. Maybe. And therefore, they would always undo the tying when they came to use the Yeted, when they were using them. I'm not sure. That would make more sense to me. Anybody got a note there or something which helped me on that? Or translation or explanation? That would explain why you're tying in order to untie. Okay, and what Rashi says over here, that our bias challenge to Rabbah is that later on we're going to learn that a knot is only asur to do on Shabbos if it's called the Kesher Shel Kayama. It's going to last. Now, halacha today, we say it needs to last around about 7 days. It's going to be a knot which lasts 3 to 7 days. But about 7 days, then it's a problem. if it won't last, like that's why a bow, for example, on your shoe you can tie, but a double knot you can't tie. Unless you could open it with one baby finger, it's not a proper knot. It's not called the kesher shokayama. But so therefore it can't be sabaya, that's the kesher of the yetadot. Because we're going to learn later on that that's dafka where we learn that a knot which is not permanent is allowed to be made on Shabbos. So it seems to be a knot which was used for some sort of storage purposes. So now, he says, Ela Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, so what is this kesher we talk about in the Mishkan? Shechein orge yiriot, those who are weaving the blankets, the material, the nifsakala heneima, when a thread was broken, finished, koshrinota, they tied on another thread to it. That's what it was about. So Amalei Rava, Rava says, Tirat the kosher. Okay, you're giving a good answer, Abaya, for kosher. About matir, Michael, what's matir? What's undoing doing? Well, I was undoing a knot. About undoing a knot, right? If it's a kesher shel kayame and you undo that knot on Shabbos, also a melocha. So he wants to know, where do we get to that? So he says, the de'im mitramile trei kitrei bahadea dadei sharichad v'katachim. Tell me that maybe in the same guys who are in their process, they had different knots and they under one and tied the other one. It doesn't make any sense because you don't make clothes and begadim and things for the king with knots all around and fixing up. You use whole pieces, you do it much nicely. So if it doesn't make sense that they would do it, melech malcheh amlachim akadosh baruch hu asin, would they do something like that in the process of making, of undoing knots and tying knots and basically like a big mess? Ela amar Rava, b'tam Rabbi Elai, what is this matir shechein tzadei chilazon koshrinu matirin? He says the guys who are the fishermen who are fishing for the chilazon to make the dyes, and that's important for the fabrics, they would tie knots and untie knots, I suppose they'd adjust their nets by tying or untying, shortened and lengthened, and therefore that would be the Asherah Shabbat. Let's end off.